Well, you're going to have to excuse me this morning because we're starting a new book. And as I read preliminary through some of it this past week, I'm just so excited about where God's taken us through the book. And it's all about all the riches that we have. We are all wealthy. Riches in Christ. We're going to go to the book of Ephesians if you want to just think about getting your finger there. But I read this story, and it's kind of a little bit appropriate to Christians today. Anybody ever hear of Hetty Green? Probably not, because she died in 1916. But she went down in history as America's greatest miser. She was cheap. When she died in 1916, her estate was worth $100 million back then. Enormous amount of money. But she ate cold oatmeal in the morning because she didn't want to spend the money to heat it up. Yeah. She procrastinated bringing her son to a doctor so much because she was looking for a free clinic that when she found one, they had to amputate his leg because it was too far gone. She was wealthy, but she lived like a pauper. Was she eccentric? She was, yes. Was she crazy? Well, perhaps, but nobody could prove it. But she is an illustration of so many Christians today because all Christians that believe in Jesus Christ have limitless wealth at their disposal. And they choose to live like a pauper. Think about that while I find my place. You see, Paul's letter to the Ephesians is a little different than most of his other letters that he wrote. It's kind of like Romans because the Ephesians was not written to address a particular problem that was going on in the church. He wrote to the Ephesians to explain all these great riches and doctrines of Christianity. So let's look at one verse from 1 Corinthians that we already read, but it's always good to repeat it. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Eye has not seen, ear not heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But this next verse says, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, the deep things of God. So the Holy Spirit searches the heart of God. And he knows all those things, and Scripture says he reveals them to us. The book of Ephesians is the fulfillment of that verse. Because Ephesians is going to reveal the things that God has prepared for those who love him. So if you love him, get your basket ready. He's going to fill it up. Let's go to Ephesians. Now, again, I have to apologize because I'm going to go very, very slow through the book. In fact, I'm not even getting very far today. But I don't want to miss anything that God wants to say to me. And so, here we go. Verse 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to stop there and see what did God just say? You ever play pretend when you were little? I did. You pretend you're a housewife, or you pretend you're a fisherman, or you play pretend. So let's play pretend this morning. No rolling eyes. We're going to play pretend. All right? I want to pretend that you are writing this epistle, not Paul. You. And so, take Paul's name out of the scripture I just read, and you put your name there. And then where it says an apostle, that was his, what he did, you put your occupation in there. And it's going to go something like this. Glenn, an auto technician, by the will of God. Or Perlene, piano player, by the will of God. Or like your dad, Jay Brown, a contractor, by the will of God. You see where I'm going with this? Not everybody is called to be an apostle. Not everybody is called to be a pastor preacher. And so there's a phrase that people use that I don't like. They shouldn't use it. And they say something like, oh, so-and-so is following the highest calling of God. He's going into the ministry. That's not a true statement. The ministry is not the highest calling of God. Whatever God has called you to do and equipped you to do it is the highest calling of God for your life. Don't feel like you're a second-class person or you're second-class in the heavenly. You're not going to get a front-row seat because all you did was pump gas for a living. You hear this all the time, I'm just a housewife. If you are blessed of God to be a housewife, you are not a second-class citizen. Whatever it is that God has called you to do is the highest calling of God for your life. I want you to believe that. Don't ever question it. And we should be enjoying that calling rather than feeling guilty about it. Because do not try to be somebody that God did not call you to be. What does the Bible say? Make your calling and election sure. Know what you are by the will of God. Because you are what you are by the will of God. And take pleasure in that. And you will have a happy and fulfilling life. Now, as we go through this epistle, I'm going to say it will help you to underline, or if you're more modern than that, and you use highlighters, then you can highlight some stuff that God's going to show you. And if he's talking too softly, then I'll repeat it for him so that you'll hear it. You're going to find all these things that you're going to underline or highlight. It's going to unlock this epistle to you. And the Spirit is going to tell you everything that you are. The Spirit's going to tell you everything that God has done for you. He's already done it. In case you didn't know it, it's done. He's going to tell you those things. And he's going to tell you all that God's going to do for you. And he's going to tell you all that God wants to do for you in Christ Jesus. That's what that first two verses said. And Paul says to the saints, are you surprised at that? He picked the word saints. What does that mean to you? Well, as a baby Catholic, that's what I used to be. yeah, you can laugh. You know me well. That used to mean a person that they determined was a saint by the way they lived their lives. And after they were long gone and dead, and they looked at everything they did, they, quote, gave him sainthood. That's not what a saint is. The word saint means one who has been set apart. Sanctification or sanctified means to set apart. Everything in the temple that was sanctified for the temple was set apart to be used only for God. And you didn't take the cup and bring it to home to drink wine at supper time with. The utensils that they had, they were all sanctified, set apart. When a sinner, which is what we all were, trust in Christ as our Savior, we are taken out of the world, and we are placed in Christ. We are set apart for Jesus Christ. Yes, the believer is in the world physically. We are here. But we are not of the world spiritually. So if you, and I think I'm speaking for everybody here today, have already accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you love and believe in him, that word applies to you. You are saints. And so, this letter is written to you. Paul says, to the saints. That's you. So pay attention. This letter is personally written for you. And he says, grace to you and peace from God the Father. That's verse 2. I finally got the verse 2. Now, grace refers to the kindness of God toward undeserving people. He doesn't have to be. He shouldn't be. But he is kind to us. And receiving his grace always comes before a walk in peace with him. And you often find grace and mercy together, along with salvation. And grace and faith go together. Because the only way you can experience grace and salvation is through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, how about that phrase, in Christ Jesus? Well, that is used to describe the spiritual position of the believer. We are identified with Christ. We are in Christ. And by being in Christ, we are able and allowed to draw on the wealth of Christ for our daily living. And so many Christians will not do that. They won't draw on that wealth. Now, each and every book in the Bible has its own special theme or message in it. Genesis, book of beginnings. Matthew, the book of the kingdom. Galatians, we just finished last week, book of liberty. It was all about liberty. Ephesians tells us in verse 3 what its theme is. Blessed be God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Riches in Christ is the theme of Ephesians. And these riches, they're spiritual blessings. And they're far better than material blessings. I know sometimes you can question that. Well, you know, I'd like a little bit of a material blessing. And he does bless us material. And those things are great. And we owe God thanks for all these earthly things that he gives us. They're more than we deserve. But our thanks should go up to God in multitudes of hallelujahs for the spiritual blessings that he gives us. A new coat is not better than a new heart. And to feed on Christ every day is better than to have steak at every meal. And to be an heir of Almighty God is better than being an heir to the Rockefeller estate. Because the spiritual blessings that God blesses us with are the rarest and the most enduring of all blessings. You can't put a price tag on them. They are priceless in value. So if we have absolutely no appreciation for these spiritual blessings, then I hate to say it, but we're living at the level of an animal. Because an animal only lives to eat, to sleep, maybe a little entertainment if you're a cat, and to reproduce. That's all they do. But we are made in the image of God. And he has something so much higher for us. God the Father has made us rich in Christ Jesus. When you were born again, you were born into this God's family. God's family is a wealthy family. You're a wealthy Christian now. And through Christ, you share in all the riches of God. You share in God's grace. You share in God's glory. You share in God's mercy. And you share in the riches of Jesus Christ. J. Paul Getty was worth an estimate of $1.3 billion. That's a lot of zeros. But all that wealth is pennies when you compare it to the spiritual wealth that every single Christian has. Now we're going to see as we go through here what these riches are. And we're going to see how we can draw on them as we live our Christian life day to day. How vast is your spiritual wealth? One blessing? Three? Half a dozen, maybe? What does God's word say? We go right to the source, the truth. God's word says in verse 3, we have all spiritual blessings. All. Not one, three, or six. We have all. And that can be translated a little bit clearer from the old Greek to we have all the blessings of the Holy Spirit of God. They're all given to us. Now, in the Old Testament, God promised his people, Israel, on the earth, he promised them material blessings. And the material blessings were the reward for their obedience. I'd like to look at just a small phrase of that. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 through 8. If you come, it shall come to pass. That means it's going to happen. If you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And then he says, and all these blessings will come upon you, and they will overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. It's like a big wave if you're standing with your back to the ocean and it overtakes you. You didn't even know it was there. It floods you. These blessings are going to flood you. You'll be blessed in the city, it says. You'll be blessed, shall you be in the country. So no matter where you live, you're going to be blessed. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, the offspring of your flocks. So he's talking about reproduction here. Your family is going to be blessed with children. And your animals and stock are going to be blessed with more sheep, more goats, more cattle. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl, your food. You'll be blessed with food. Blessed shall you be when you come in and blessed when you go out. So whether you stay home or whether you go out in the world, you're going to be blessed. Verse 7 says, the Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way, and they'll flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God has given you. Wow! No matter where you live, no matter where you work, no matter where you go, no matter what you eat, you're going to be blessed. If you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. Today, God promises to supply all our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He does not promise to shield us from poverty or pain. I know that sounds like, wait a minute, Ken, you're contradicting yourself. You're saying I'm rich, but you're saying that I could be poor. Yes. You could be poor physically in this world, but you are rich in Christ Jesus, is what Scripture says. It says the Father has given us every blessing of the Holy Spirit. everything we need for a successful, satisfying Christian life is given to us. And I know I've even thought in the past, boy, sometimes I don't really have a whole lot, Lord. And there was a time when I didn't have a whole lot. But that's not true. The spiritual is far, far more better than the material. And it's the Holy Spirit. It's Him that channels our riches to us from the Father through the Son. Now, to not know and to not depend on the Holy Spirit, that's to live a life of poverty. And that's sad, because Romans 8, 9 says, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, then he is not his. So unless we have the witness of the Holy Spirit within us, we can't draw on the wealth of the Spirit. We don't have the right debit card. When you put it in, it says rejected. What's your PIN number? Well, he didn't give me the PIN number. No good. People on this earth, not everybody, but most people, they put their money in the bank. Or sometimes they put it in a big, heavy safe that they have at home. But where do our spiritual riches lie? Are they in the bank? No. They're in the heavenly places in Christ, it says in verse 3. Think of it this way. Our blessings are in the heavenlies in Christ. Now, unsaved people are primarily interested in earthly things. They really want to know my car, my boat, my, whatever, you can fill that in. Because that's where they live. They live in the world. In Luke, Jesus calls those people children of the world. But the Christian life is centered in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. Our name is written in heaven. Yes, your name is written in heaven. Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Luke 10. Luke 10, 20. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this that the spirits are subject to you. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. We're children of God. Our name is already written in heaven right now. Our Father is in heaven. So therefore, our attention and our affection should be centered on the things of heaven. The heavenlies is where Christ is right now, sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and for me. And know this, the believer is seated with Him in heaven. The believer is seated with Christ in heaven, even though his physical body is here on earth. I haven't got to it, but Ephesians 2:6 says that. Even though we were dead in trespass, we were made alive together with Christ and raised up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we have already been raised up and are sitting with Christ Jesus. The battles that we fight here on this earth, they're not with flesh and blood. They are with satanic powers in the heavenlies. And so the Christian operates in two spheres, the human and the divine. We operate in the visible and the invisible. Eye has not seen, remember? Now physically, yeah, we're here on earth, human body. But spiritually, we are seated with Christ in the heavenly sphere. And it's this heavenly sphere that provides the power and the direction for our earthly walk. I mentioned already the first thing that you have to underline or highlight. The first riches that you've already received it. And some people don't even know they received it. I am blessed. That's the first thing. You say it to you. I am blessed. It's right there in verse 3. It doesn't say God's going to bless us. Verse 3 says, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. With every spiritual blessing. So the Christian enjoys blessings now, not later, right now. And because it says he has blessed us, we've received some. And if we receive some, well, there's more to follow because it says all blessings. All of us, though, do not receive the same kind of blessing. So you may look at someone else and say, well, how come my neighbor's so blessed? Don't do that. We all receive different blessings. And each one of us can look for the fresh variety in our life that God's going to bless us with or has already. You just have to sit still and think about it. But it's also a mistake to sit still and anticipate special Christian blessings that I'm going to get. Oh, I want the blessing of healing so I can... No, don't do that. And don't be disappointed if you don't get special blessings. Because that would just swell up pride in every one of us anyway. But the true, true Christian blessings are stuff like peace and joy or light and love, purity and power. And they're all heavenly. But because they're heavenly, they're not beyond our reach. Because heaven is let down now. When Jesus came to earth, what did he say? The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is right here in our midst. And we've been lifted up to heaven. And so where we have our treasure up into heaven, it says, there you are. Because it says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I'm not going to go any further today. 3 verses is about all I could handle on that. So, number one, we are blessed. That's the first thing to underline. Lord, thank you for bringing us into your family. And thank you for blessing us every day. So just this week, open up our hearts and our minds that we would recall or recognize how blessed we are. Just what you have done for us. That we may give you appreciation for all that. In multitudes of thanks and glory. You bless us with this building to come and meet, Lord. You bless us with the freedom to come and meet, Lord. You bless us to come in and to go out without showing papers. And so as we gather together and in fellowship, Lord, you bless us with provisions, food and drink. May you be the talk of our hearts and the talk of the town at all that you have done for us, Lord. We thank you again and again and again. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this is going to be such a powerful book. I pray you won't miss any of it.